League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Settle Milwaukee Brewers podcast coming at you on a Monday. A lot of people thinking about the Milwaukee Bucks right now, but the Milwaukee Brewers finished the week strong. They got two wins in Colorado on Saturday and Sunday. They got ninth inning runs both times, so some dramatics from the Brewers to salvage an otherwise really ugly week. They opened 0-5, getting swept by the Reds and starting out with two losses against Colorado. My name is J.R. Radcliffe, host of the podcast, and on the other line is Todd Rosiak. He's a Brewers beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And Todd, the Brewers were, you know, maybe due for a little bit of a kickback. They'd had, you know, consecutive 5-1 weeks. Things were going really, really well. And this week, to me, served as a reminder of a couple things. Their offense is still not very good. It's still well below average as big league offenses go. And that was more of a problem in the Red Series than in the Rockies series when, you know, everyone finds their offense at Coors Field. And the bullpen is dicey. There's Josh Hader, who's awesome. And then, you know, there's a few other guys who are decent, but it's a little bit of an adventure. As you look at this bullpen, we've talked about Aaron Ashby possibly coming into the mix here. I know you got to talk to him, so I'd be interested to hear what you had to say or what you know, your impressions of him. And he's a possibility, but still, like, maybe a ways to go. And I don't know what they have. They're kind of just, like, roaming through options, it seems like, to try to find what's going to work here. How concerned are you about the Brewers' bullpen?
I mean, you start at the back end. Hader's rock solid. Devin Williams, even though he's had his hiccups, he's still unquestioned as the eighth inning guy. You have Brad Boxberger, who locked down the Sunday's game with Hader being unavailable, and just in general has been really an invaluable piece of the bullpen. You know, he's a guy that can pitch seventh, eighth, or ninth, and you feel pretty good about. Then you go to Brent Suter, and after that, it's been kind of a crapshoot. And obviously, you like more than four, you know, options that you feel like you can really count on day in and day out. And you're right, you know, they've been cycling through a lot of different arms and nobody has really, you know, kind of stepped forward and, you know, grabbed the position and held on to it. You know, injuries have been a part of that too. Trades have been a part of that. You know, now you see JP Fireisen saving games for the Rays down in Tampa. You know, that was a guy who was pretty valuable for them too. So, you know, I think you're just going to continue to see the Brewers just trying to get what they can get from their guys. You know, Aaron Ashby, at some point, I'm expecting will be called up. He just made another relief appearance today down in Nashville. I believe that makes it four total. If I had a guess, I would venture a guess that it would be between, you know, another three to four, maybe fewer before he gets the call up, assuming that things continue to go okay and the Brewers like what they see. But, you know, again, the trading deadline coming up in about 5 weeks or so, I, you know, assuming the Brewers are still in the hunt, I would not be surprised in the least that they really try to add at least one, if not two, more experienced, reliable options in the bullpen because they need help.
Well, you said, you mentioned on the last podcast you were going to get a chance to talk to Aaron Ashby. So what sorts of things did you guys discuss? What's your impression of him?
Oh, he's a very nice guy. You know, he's We talked to him, I think, at least once during spring training on Zoom. And, you know, he was just talking a little bit about the transition that is underway right now for him and just kind of the difference that there is going from starting a game to relieving a game. It's really a huge difference. And, you know, he's obviously excited and anxious and eager and all those sorts of things. But until he's able to really kind of nail down, pin down a routine and show that he can go out there and do it, you know, time and time again with minimal hiccups, you know, that's going to be the test for him. I think the real interesting stuff we actually got from talking to Corbin Burnes, who obviously did that same thing back in 2018, And he was talking about how, you know, you basically have all day as a starter to get ready physically and mentally. And, you know, you start physically warming up about an hour before the game. Whereas as a reliever, you know, you play catch before the game and then you're in the bullpen and then the phone rings and you have 4 or 5 minutes to get hot. And then all of a sudden you're in the game. And then sometimes you need to do it back to back nights. Sometimes you need to do it 3 times in a row. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if he's able to make this adjustment over the long term for this season. I'm sure the Brewers are going to look at him as a starting option moving forward, but this is just an effort to get him into the bullpen this year, add another good arm to the mix and see how it goes.
Brewers activated Hunter Strickland to start the week. So he's sort of a new bullpen guy in the mix. They've had pretty mixed success with Hobie Milner. He's been okay here and there, but you know, that's one of those guys that Zach Godley, another one, who was part of a bullpen effort that allowed a 6-run lead to evaporate in one inning's time on Sunday. Now, the Brewers did come back and win that game, but a 6-0 lead, suddenly it's 6-6, and that's just sort of that middle part. You know, you talked about Hader and Devin Williams, who isn't maybe, he's certainly not what he was last year, but still good enough to be solid in the eighth inning, and there's sort of that middle ground, and they're still trying to figure that out and rotating guys through a little bit. You know... I don't know if I'm worried about Devin Williams, but he is a guy who's got as much movement as he has on his pitches. And Corbin Burnes is another one in the starting rotation. With this sort of baseball-wide hubbub over sticky substances on the baseball and this major, major crackdown, you look at guys who have sort of, I don't want to call it unnatural movement, but very much eye-popping movement, pitching ninja darlings like Devin Williams and Corbin Burnes, who make crazy things happen with the baseball. I have no idea what their routine is or their regimen is, but you would think that those guys are, you know, they would be the candidates of guys who are using sticky substances to help with grip and potentially help with movement, spin rate, those sorts of things. So those are the guys I guess I'd be nervous about seeing a decline. I don't know how much other Brewers pitchers have really talked about it. Mostly what I've heard from the Brewers are, you know, hey, it's throwing a baseball is throwing a baseball, pitching is pitching, and you're not gonna, they're not worried about the sticky substances being a big issue for this pitching staff. But I don't know. I mean, Corbin Burnes has been hit a little bit lately since he hasn't been quite the dominant Corbin Burnes that he was at the very beginning of the year. And Devin Williams has been here and there. I mean, he did give up the winning run one in this game against the Rockies on Friday night. But that was, you know, runner at second base. That was just a single. That wasn't a huge, you know, that wasn't even that long of an outing. Well, as you see the conversation around the sticky substances, do you imagine pitchers who are, you know, Brewers being a very pitcher dominant team, that they're going to be more impacted than perhaps a team that has, you know, more of a reliance on its offense?
I mean, you would think that if you thought that the pitchers were using legal substances, which, you know, we don't know. It's very early in the process. The things aren't going to start being governed on the field until tomorrow, Monday. So we'll see what happens from that standpoint. I know there have been people who have been rolling out kind of 10-day averages for pitchers since this stuff was all announced as far as spin rate and all that. And that stuff's all out on Twitter. People can go look that up. You know, in the case of Burnes, he's a guy that's had, you know, really tremendous spin rate from very early on in his career. So I don't really know, you know, like if it's changed much, you know, if it's really increased. I've never looked at the numbers that in depth. You know, he has not pitched well the last few outings, which is interesting. So it's hard to say. I mean, as far as Devin Williams goes, I had this discussion with somebody last week. I don't know a ton about it, but to me, I would think a sticky substance when you're trying to throw a changeup the way he does would almost be counterproductive. You know, like to me, if you watch the slow-mo, that all the RPMs and all the spin that he's getting is kind of with the break of the wrist. And it's just such a loose grip with the ball when you're throwing a changeup that I would be shocked if anybody that relies that heavily on a changeup would be using any sort of substance like that. Again, I'm no expert, but I think that's so much of a feel pitch as opposed to, you know, trying to throw a cutter, trying to throw a slider, you know, those sorts of pitches. So, you know, again, it's going to be interesting. We'll find out starting Monday in Arizona when the umpires go out and check these guys, and be interesting to see who the first guy is, not necessarily from the Brewers, but anywhere, you know, if somebody does get popped and how teams respond to that and that sort of thing. It's just another another change that we're all going to have to get used to and watch coming moving forward.
We once again heard more about the Josh Hader usage situation. Friday night, he throws 7 pitches in the 9th inning. He does not come back out for the 10th inning. The Rockies quickly win that game in extras. We've had this conversation. The Brewers don't think of it like maybe many fans do. If they think that the 10th inning is the more challenging task with the runner starting at second base, they are not going to save him for that opportunity. They are going to use him in the 9th inning, pretty much no matter what. If it's a tie game or they're winning, Josh Hader is going to be involved in the 9th inning. It's been a very specific role. They've made no bones about it this year. And it's effective. You can't deny that it's really, really working. He's now 18 for 18 in save opportunities. You know, though, I can understand still the viewpoint that Craig Counsell and the Brewers really were at their best in 2018 using pitchers in different ways, not sticking to roles. There's sort of a difference between, you know, role certainty and inflexibility. And, you know, he was able to come back on Saturday and pitch because he presumably didn't pitch that much on Friday, and he gets a save Saturday. So, again, you have to acknowledge there are some results here that the Brewers, you know, the Brewers may come out ahead in there going 1-1 in those 2 games. But what do you think about that? Do you think that the Brewers are being a little inflexible here? Either it's Brewers or Hader or whoever's sort of like concocting this very specific role assignment for him. Or do you just sort of yield to the results and say, look, you know, we can argue about it. The fact is, it's working. Hader is dominant. Clearly, he's comfortable. So for whatever reason, it works. I mean, how do you sort of explain that to people at this point?
I mean, look at his numbers. You know, perfect in save situations. You know, barely scored upon. Dominating, maybe as dominating as he's been over the course of his career. And most importantly, he's healthy. You know, he's found a way to get himself ready to pitch multiple days in a row. He saved all 3 games in that Pittsburgh series last weekend at home. I don't think you can argue with the results. You know, he was a very unique weapon when they were using him in multi-inning situations. You know, you can make arguments that, you know, in extra innings games, maybe, you know, you save him for the 10th inning, that sort of thing. But I just don't think you can really argue with the results. You know, the guy's been basically unhittable. You know, he's a huge weapon. When you hand him the ball in the 9th inning with the lead, you feel really good that that game's going to wind up in the left side of the column for the Brewers. And I don't think the Brewers see any reason to change it at this point. So kind of is what it is. And I just think there are a lot of other issues that the Brewers can, Brewer fans can worry about and gnash their teeth over than, you know, the usage of Hader.
Yeah, and let me give you one, because in that game, it wouldn't have come up if the Brewers could have just scratched across one more run in that 9th inning. They did tie it very quickly. 2 batters into the 9th inning, Willy Adames, who was ridiculous in Colorado, he doubles to tie it. They load the bases with 1 out. Colton Wong grounds out, play at the plate. They get the force, and then Derek Fisher comes into the game, strikes out as a pinch hitter. The offense, they've done this a little bit all year. I mean, that's just one inning example, but they have had their issues. And when you've got a lot of guys that, you know, like Jace Peterson and Derek Fisher and guys that are not somebody you would necessarily rely on, but getting a lot of starts and getting a lot of prominent opportunities. Derek Fisher is a bad example, but there are times you look at the bottom third of this order and you think who's going to get hits there. And I don't, again, I know I've asked this question in different ways over the course of the season. They're just like, I don't know who they turn to. Like, the AAA team doesn't have these options. I know Zach Greene for a while was seen as a possibility. He kind of went into a slump. He went into a big slump. And I don't know if that's quite the hot topic that it once was. Outside of trades, I just don't see what they have. And I don't think they have enough to trade to just go out and say, let's add a bat. So I feel like they're stuck here still, and this was, again, a reminder week for me. Like, they had a lot of hits the last couple weeks. Things really seemed like they were turning, and then this week, particularly early in that Red Series, started to feel a lot like it did at the beginning of the year, where you just had to claw and scratch for 2, maybe 3 runs and hope the starter goes 7 strong innings and hold on from there. How worried are you about the offense? Do you feel like they maybe did turn a little bit of a corner, you know, going back over the last few weeks, or do you think this is still just... It is going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle all season long.
Well, I think just in the short term, getting Colton Wong back at the top of the lineup is huge, because it's another really quality guy, another quality offensive player. He lengthens out that lineup quite a bit. And, you know, keeping him at the top allows you to kind of stretch out what you have. If I remember seeing on Brewers Twitter last Sunday, you know, the spots 5 through 9 against the Reds in that finale, it was not good, you know, and it's hard to sustain winning when you've got, you know, four guys, not counting the pitcher, who are all, you know, sub 200 hitters. It just doesn't lend itself to success over the long haul. But, you know, the Brewers are battling multiple injuries. Let's not forget that Keston Hira was going to be counted on heavily this season, and he's been a complete non-factor. You know, you've got the stretch of 33 games and 34 days leading into the All-Star break, where you do need to get your starters some rest. So there really are no good internal options, and you just have to keep hoping that, you know, now Colton Wong is back. We haven't heard anything recently about Lorenzo Cain. If he's any closer, it sounds like July, you know, before he's going to be an alternative. And then, you know, in the meantime, you just got to keep rolling with what you have. I would assume that the Brewers are also kicking the tires on offensive players too, to look to add. And if there are trades to be made, you know, they're probably going to have to pluck from the lower levels of their minor league system, which is where more of their top shelf talent is. So in the meantime, you just have to keep relying on the pitching as much as you can, and hope you get just enough offense and try to keep winning. And once you get to the All-Star break, you kind of catch your breath, reassess a little bit, and you know, start the second half hopefully in a better place.
Jackie Bradley Jr. had a really nice at bat on Sunday, but the struggles for him have really continued. How much longer do you think he's going to be here? My inclination is to say, like you mentioned, Lorenzo Cain, not back until July. Well, they'll at least wait till then so they can have an elite center fielder. But Cain's had a lot of injury issues, and, you know, maybe they just say, look, he's a defensive asset. We're not going to cut bait on a 2-year, $24 million contract, given the fact that, you know, he can still play a good center field. He is still good on one side of the ball. His offensive numbers are among the worst in Brewers history at this point. I mean, I don't think that's where he'll finish, but he's going to have to get really, really hot to be anything at this point above average for the course of the season. What do you think their patience level is with Jackie Bradley Jr.?
I mean, where is he going? You know, I mean, like you said it yourself. They owe him $24 million. I think it's 13 this year, 11 next year, something like that. He's got a player option. There's not a chance in hell he's not going to enact that
right
after the season he's had this year. You know, who would trade for him? Who would want him? You know, I mean, it is what it is. The Brewer, you know, the Yankees, the Dodgers, you know, those are the teams that can afford to, you know, write off a $24 million loss. The Brewers, not so much, you know, so it is what it is. They're going to have to keep rolling with them and hope in some way, shape or form he responds a little bit and at least gets up to the Mendoza line and is somewhat of a serviceable offensive player. You know, you mentioned it also defensively. He's a good guy to have out. He can play all three outfield positions and play him well. So, you know, at least you're getting a quality player on that side of the ball. But, you know, he's not showing any signs really of sustaining any kind of offensive success. He pops a homer here or there, you know, hits some balls hard. But that really is it. And I don't think any of us are going to be convinced until we see, you know, a stretch of 3, 4, 5 games where he's consistently getting, you know, 2 hits a night that you think, well, maybe he's coming out on the other side of this. So again, just is what it is. They're going to have to roll with it. And once you get Lorenzo Cain back healthy, then you can start mixing and matching again. But until then, it's going to be JBJ out there, I think, more often than not.
What do you make of Eric Lauer? We've talked about him before. He started and ended this week. He gave up 5 runs in 5 innings against Cincinnati, or I should say 4 runs in 5 innings against Cincinnati. That game ended up into a rout on Monday, 10-2. It wasn't all Lauer's fault. On Sunday, he started out doing great. Things were really humming along for the first 5 innings, and things started to fall apart then as the Rockies started mounting their comeback in the bullpen. Bullpen gave up a couple of those homers, but Eric Lauer did as well. Do you think he's still going to be part of this sort of quote-unquote six-man rotation, or will they maybe look at Lindblom or another option at this point?
I would assume that he'll stay where he is right now. He pitched well until that last inning, and he just told us a little while ago after the game Sunday that he basically just pooped out, just tired out, and that was the reason for the collapse there. You know, he looked really good. Became one of only a handful of Brewer pitchers to ever lay down three sacrifice bunts in a game, drove in a run with one. So
he's good with the bat, man.
Yeah, I was going to say he's at least doing something offensively too. So, I think he's shown enough that you can continue to roll him out there and give him opportunities. He also strikes me as a guy that gets better the more opportunities he gets. You can probably say that for a lot of guys, but there's still a very small sample size of Eric Lauer for the organization in general. And, I think they are curious to see what they have. So, this is a perfect time to keep utilizing him in that six starter spot, keep rolling him out there and see how he does. But, he's definitely had some bad games. He's had a few good games. And I think the truth is probably somewhere in between.
I know we've talked a lot about Luis Urias and Willy Adames having recent offensive success. There's probably not a whole lot more to say. He's up to, I believe, 0.9 WAR for the season, and you can maybe take or leave that stat. But talking about Adames here. I don't know if people realize that's better than a lot of seasons of shortstop, full seasons of shortstop that the Brewers have had in recent memories. It's a lot better than Orlando Arcia's typical season over the last few years. I mean, he's had better seasons than that, but still, like, the Willy Adames acquisition has completely saved the Brewers, I think, and for somehow it's lined up with Luis Urias going on a hot streak too, whether he's playing at second base or third base or filling in or whatever. He's been just white hot. But Adames with one of the best games I think you'll find at the end of the season. It might very well be the best single offensive game of the year on Saturday. Three doubles and a two-run go-ahead home run in the ninth inning that put the Brewers in position to win that ball game, which of course they ended up doing. So I don't have a good question here. It's like, why is Willy Adames amazing? Because we've asked that question and kind of answered it, but Willy Adames is amazing, right?
Daniel Vogelbach said something good after the game today. He said that there are moments in every season where you kind of look back and you you can point to and say, this was like a really big turning point for us, or this is an at bat we really remember. And he said that Adames at bat last night, the two run homer in Colorado, could wind up being one of those moments for the Brewers. And definitely, I mean, snatching victory from the jaws of defeat there. And he's just really doing it all. He's doing it with the bat, he's doing it with the glove, he's doing it in the clubhouse by all accounts. He's brought it in every aspect. I think the Brewers, I don't think the Brewers in their wildest dreams could have expected the impact, overall impact that he's had on this team since he's joined it. And, of course, the bat's going to cool off a little bit and, there'll be an error here or there. But overall, they gave up a lot to get him, but I think they feel really good about what they got in Willy Adames. And, hey, don't look now, but Trevor Richards is also on a really nice roll as well. So, both teams are happy with what they got in that trade. And those are usually the best kinds of trades to make.
Yeah. Speaking of bullpen from the beginning of this conversation, Trevor Richards is definitely a piece of that equation right now. I did a piece at jsonline.com looking at in-season acquisitions, used WAR kind of as a guide there. And it's a little tricky because sometimes the guys you get earlier in the season, they're bound to have better WAR, which is a cumulative stat, but Adames is going to finish among the top few in Brewers history. Obviously, CC Sabathia is at the top of that list. A lot of other guys who will come to mind as big in-season acquisitions over the course of Brewers history. But this one's a good one. This one's really going to help this team. Before I let you go, Todd, any last thoughts you have? Any storylines you've been following this week that you want to point out here?
Well, I guess there's probably only one. And I see the Diamondbacks lost again today.
Oh, my gosh.
So They're just on an incredibly bad losing streak. They have not won since before they came to Milwaukee a few weeks ago. We talked to Craig Counsell about that before the game. And, does this make the Diamondbacks especially dangerous now in this series against the Brewers? Or are they going to continue to roll over? You figure as major leaguers, they have pride. They do have talent. At some point the worm is going to turn, but the Brewers certainly don't want it to turn while they're in town. So, it's going to be I think it's going to be a fun series to watch, an entertaining series. There always seems to be exciting games down there for whatever reason, no matter how the Brewers are doing, how the Diamondbacks are doing. So I would expect that to continue. Best case scenario, the Brewers go in there for them and they're able to pull out a sweep, and all of a sudden you've won five in a row on the road and you come home for reopening day and you got the bounce back off of that, and things are looking really good again. So
I think it's going to be a fun three-game series down there. I'll be happy once I get down there. I'll be getting an early wake-up call Monday morning, but that's all part of the job, you know?
Oh my gosh, the Diamondbacks 20-53 this year. Of course, the Brewers did sweep them just last week. That'll be three games starting on Monday in Arizona. The Brewers, you know, they just played the Rockies and struggled. They managed to split. Rockies aren't a very good team either, but they were at least playing well. Arizona not playing well at all. Then they will get that off day on Thursday before coming back. Colorado for three games. Like you mentioned, reopening day at American Family Field. The Rockies and a full capacity be there. That's a 3:10 first pitch on a Friday. Kind of an unusual start time. And then the Cubs come to town the following Monday. Todd, thank you for joining us on the Journal Sentinel Brewers podcast. We will chat with you again very soon.
JR, always a pleasure.
Find us on Stitcher, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We will chat with you again next week. For Todd Rosiak, I'm JR Radcliffe. Find us on Twitter if you'd like. Let us know what you think. I'm at JR Radcliffe. He's at Todd _ Rosiak. He is on his way to Arizona to check out this series. I will chat with you again very soon. Bye-bye.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.